If you've ever traveled anywhere, you might be warned about pickpockets and thieves, especially if you've traveled somewhere overseas or somewhere foreign, where Americans are often seen as easy targets. I remember that I once had the opportunity to travel to Europe, and while we were in Paris, we visited a very beautiful cathedral called Montmartre, one of the crown jewels of the city. But they also warned us that there were all kinds of pickpockets surrounding the cathedral. And they would come up to you and they would offer to you a bracelet. The idea was that as they had your attention on what they were doing, someone else would come up and steal your wallet. This was so common that the police really couldn't do anything about it. All they could do is to warn you about it and tell you to walk away. And of course, I remember when we were there, we had one of these pickpockets come up to us, to our group. And all we could do was simply say no and continue our way. But of course, even if you haven't traveled, Christians, we still know to be on guard against scams. I mean, it seems like just about every day up at the church in Hanover, I get a robocall for some kind of scam or another, telling me how I need to update my car's extended warranty or update my listing for Google Business. These calls come in all the time. And it's bad enough that most people don't even answer the phone anymore unless they know the number. If it's important, they'll leave a message. That way, we can deal with it. So it is important to be vigilant and careful against thieves. We know how to protect our wallet. But Christians, are we just as careful and watchful against the thieves of our minds? Those who want to come to us with ideas or teachings that lead us away from God. Jesus himself says in John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." We guard against the thieves who are coming after our wallets, and well, we should. But we should be on guard against these spiritual thieves even more. Because the wallet thieves, if they take something from us, it can be replaced. But a spiritual thief kills the soul. So Paul in our epistle reading calls for us to be vigilant against these spiritual thieves. He says in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Of course, the best way to be on guard against any of these things is to know what to look for, to know how the scam goes so that we can avoid it. And Paul gives us three examples in this verse of things to be on guard against, what he calls philosophy, human tradition, and the elemental spirits of the world. It's worthwhile to look at each one of these in turn so that we know how to guard our minds, so that we are able to recognize the wolf in sheep's clothing. So the first thing that Paul talks about is what he calls philosophy. And what he means by this are any ideas which lead us away from God. And I emphasize that because not everything that is called philosophy is actually bad. There are all kinds of ideas that are good, or at least neutral, that don't go against God's word. We can accept those things. But there are so many bad ideas, Christians, that take that good name and use it for themselves in order to deceive us, to lead us into accepting it, and to lead us ultimately away from God. I'll use one example here. Take science, at least what we call science. It's undeniable that what we call science has led to many great things in the world. All kinds of discoveries which have made our lives easier, which have enabled us to produce more than we ever have before. These are all good things. But there's also some bad ideas, some evil things, which take that name of science for themselves and make claims that it has no business claiming, leading people away from God and leading them to stop listening to his word. So we as Christians shouldn't reject everything, but that also means that we shouldn't accept everything either. Rather, we should carefully and critically listen to these things and compare them to the word of God. Is it true or not? And that's especially important these days, Christians, because there are so many claims out there. Everywhere you go, you will hear claims of people trying to tell you some secret, some big thing that's going to change your life. It usually comes in the way of everything you know is wrong, or everything that you've been taught is wrong, and here's what you should be doing, here's what you should be thinking, and this person will tell you what to do. Even at the gas pump, if you go there and you listen to some of those advertisements, you'll hear these kinds of claims. And they can be attractive. They really can. There's a reason why clickbait works so well on the internet. We want to know. But if we're not on guard against these things, Christians, if we are not careful, we can be captured by it even without our realizing it. We can be led away from God by someone claiming to be wise. So we must hold on to the truth, and we must listen to God above all things, and compare everything that we hear with what he says, and then reject anything that goes against it. In that way, we will not be led astray. The second thing that Paul talks about in this verse is what he calls human tradition. And again, he's talking about the kind of tradition that leads us away from God, because not all tradition is bad. Some things are good, some things are at least neutral. They are worth holding on to. Just because something comes from the past doesn't mean it's necessarily bad, even if that's what the world tries to convince us these days. But at the same time, just because it comes from the past doesn't mean it's necessarily good either. An error from a very long time ago is still an error. What it boils down to ultimately, Christians, is this. Paul warns us against accepting things purely on somebody's authority. Just because someone says that it's true doesn't mean that it automatically is. I mean, I could hold up my education, I could put a doctor in front of my name and say that for that reason you should listen to me, that every word that I say is true. But that's not necessarily the case. Just because I'm the authority doesn't mean that I'm always right. And of course, you hear this kind of thing all throughout the world, Christians. You'll hear people who will say, trust the science, or the experts have spoken. And that's why you should listen to them. And this can also happen in the church. People who will say that you should listen to me because I'm the expert here. That I know Greek, that I know Hebrew, that I have studied these things, that I have a master's degree, that I have a doctorate, whatever it may be, I'm the expert, so listen to what I have to say. And unfortunately, there's always the risk of accepting something simply because the pastor said it. Christians, our only authority is the Word of God. Everything else must be examined against it. This is why the Bereans in the book of Acts were praised for this very thing. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 17, now these Jews, that is the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So the Bereans didn't accept what Paul was saying just because he said it. They took what he was saying and they compared it to the word. And when they saw that it was true, then they accepted it as the truth. They didn't just accept it because Paul had said it. And Christians, I want to emphasize the same thing. Don't accept what I'm saying just because I'm up here in the pulpit today. Examine it. Study it. Compare it to the scriptures. And if it goes against what God says, then reject it. And don't even feel bad about doing it. Accept what I say only if it's the same as what God says. That is the proper way to go. The third thing that Paul talks about in verse 8 is what he calls the elemental spirits of the world. And what he means here is the abuse of God's law. Because he says a little bit later in Colossians chapter 2, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? As he goes on to say, these things seem good, but they don't actually lead to godliness. Because self-made religion and severity are not the way of Christ. Christians, we can sometimes be taken in by what seems impressive, especially if it's religiously impressive, and thinking that if I did this, then I will somehow draw closer to God. History is full of all kinds of examples of this. People who shut themselves off from the world, thinking that that's the way to serve God. People who went into the monasteries to become monks and nuns, thinking that in that way they had become better Christians than anyone else. Or people who do all kinds of difficult things for God, but it leads them into spiritual pride. See what I have done. Christians, we should be on guard against these things too. It is not what I do that brings me closer to God, no matter how godly it may seem to be. Rather, it is the Spirit working within me that brings me closer to God. It is the Holy Spirit working in me, renewing my heart and mind, so that I become more like Christ in all things. Now, it's true, I can set goals for myself and keep them. There's nothing wrong with that. I can have a plan and remind myself to do things. There's nothing wrong with that either. These things are indeed good. But it is God who builds me up, not myself. I can plant and I can water, but God gives the growth. Because as Paul says, Christians, my mind is captive to Christ. Jesus fills me with himself. In Jesus, I have been buried in baptism. In Jesus, I have been raised to new life. In Jesus, my old sinful flesh is being put to death. And in Jesus, the debt of my sins has been canceled. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I belong to him. My mind, my heart, my body, my soul, everything are all his because of the love that he has shown to me. If I'm like a tree, then he is the ground. You pull up a tree out of the ground, it's not going to be able to stand no matter what. But when it is firmly rooted in that ground, even the fiercest storm cannot knock it down. Jesus is that ground. Jesus is my strength. And when I am rooted in him, then I indeed am strong. So Christians, do not be taken captive by the world. Be on guard against all of these things, against the spiritual thieves of the world. But do it because you belong to him alone. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given your Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free from our sins, Help us always to follow after you in all things, and to take every thought captive to you, because you are our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.